merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down the golden crowns around glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and art in evermore shall be. Holy, 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 will the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful men thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, all thy work shall praise thy name in earth, sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, Our next hymn is a hymn of thanksgiving, hymn number 6, and we will also sing all 4 verses of hymn 6. Worship the King, O glorious above, O gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. O tell of His might, O sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space. His chariots of wrath the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His faith on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Children of dust and feeble as trial, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend. So before we are going to read the psalm for this morning, I invite you then to rise and let us sing our hymn, Hymn of Invitation, Hymn 89, and we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Love divine, all love's exhaling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy grace receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thy without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in him we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in one, the love and praise. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the Almighty, the Everlasting, the All-Knowing, the All-Present, Ever-Present, Creator, God. And as we are together here this morning, O Lord, as your church, we pray that you will bless this service and that your word will speak to us in our hearts, O Lord, so that we can know you better, so that we can obey you better, and so that your kingdom, O Lord, here on earth will come, and that we will bless your name, and that we will do your will. May you be with us, O Lord. Open our eyes and our hearts now for your word, and that it will never return to you empty-handed. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. The psalm that I want to read is Psalm 73, verses 3 to 5. When I read through the passage for today, I couldn't help but to think about this psalm. And you will hear later why I'm saying this. But Psalm 73 from verse 3 to 5 reads as follows. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. We hear here the psalmist cry of his heart to say, Lord, look at the non-believers. It is going well with them. But as we will see later in our passage, we are going to deal with a very difficult verse, verse 8 in the passage. I want to ensure you, brother and sister, that what the psalmist are crying out here for may look like prosperity, but, and there's a big but, it is obviously an outwardly prosperity. It is a materialistic prosperity, and it is only temporary. It is only temporary. Let us answer to the psalm with hymn number 11, and we are going to sing all four verses, and let us rise to sing hymn 11. Right, our scripture for this morning is coming from Luke 16, verses 1 to 30. Before we read this passage, let us also pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we now are going to read from your word, yes, it is black letters on white paper, but it is your Holy Spirit that will make it alive in our hearts. May you open now our ears that we will hear your word, O Lord, and will you make it clear for us today that we can understand and know this part of Scripture better. But O Lord, I pray that we will also be obedient and that we will that we will put effort in, O Lord, as your disciples, to make this part of our daily life, and that it will change us internally, O Lord, in line with your word. May you make it clear for us through the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, our passage then read as follows, from verse 1. It is, the heading is the parable of the dishonest manager. He also said to the disciples, it's very important, normally when a passage starts like this, then it means there was something before. And the parable just before this one was the parable of the prodigal son. So that parable will also help us to understand today's passage maybe better. So he also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be a manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write only 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master, and here is the difficult verse in this passage. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. And then Jesus continued to say, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of the light. And then Jesus went on to say, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what in that which is another's, who will you give that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So yeah, I think what needs some explanation is really verses 8 and partly also verses 9. But just a few weeks ago, you will remember we had Luke 12 that also dealt with the rich fool. Our topic today is still very similar. Also, if you look at the parable just before this one, the prodigal son, it all goes about money and wealth and the waste or the use thereof. But a few weeks ago in Luke 12, the rich fool, there we have learned that he was all boasting about himself. It was about it's my possessions, it's my wealth, I did it, it belonged to me, and I will enjoy it. And then he built a much larger shed to store all the wealth. And he said, I'm going to sit down and relax, and then I'm going to enjoy it. And then the parable goes that the next day he lost his life. So one aspect is that time is not in our hands. It is in God's hands. So if we look at our passage of today, we will see that in part one of the parable all goes about this dishonest manager. This manager who did wrong, he was reported to his master. His master said, sorry, I'm going to terminate your service. He said, right, what am I going to do now? I'm going to be without a job. And I don't see me doing hard labor out there, and nor am I willing to sit at the street and beg. So I need to make a plan. And he did make a plan. A good one. He said, right, call in all the debtors. Let me get their favor. And write off all their debt. Right? So he was further, in a way, wasting his master's wealth by writing off the debt. Right? With the intention that if I do that, I will get all their favor, and when I'm without a job, they will invite me and they will take care of me because they owe me now a favor. Which is, of course, a wrong principle. And then the second part, we can definitely focus on three kingdom principles that Jesus highlighted in this passage. So the challenge for us is really the surprising end of the parable. It ends with these words. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness after corrupt transactions and unreliable behavior. How is it that a manager can commend him for that? Now, of course, our passage deals with money matters and business, but also of corruption and respect. Because in a way, by writing off the debt of the debtors, this manager sort of earned the respect from those debtors. Because they were very glad that they now, all of a sudden, they owe much less to the master. So the parable focuses on the hard economic reality that we are facing on a daily basis. In the passage, the master is described as a rich man. So he was wealthy. But discovering the dishonesty, the manager loses his job. Now, an important point to realize is that the manager at that point in time was desperate for time. He was pressed for time because he knew any moment he will lose his job. He must now just turn back the accounts, and then basically he is without a job. So in that desperation for time, he makes a plan. He devised a retirement plan for him, but using the wealth of the master. Now, it's obvious that he did not even try to defend him when his master confronted him of the wrongdoing. Now we need to put verse 8 into perspective. If we look back into the parable of the prodigal son, it is clear to us that although money is used for the explanation, the parable actually deals with relationships. The relationship between the Son and His Father, the relationship between the Father and His, and both of His two sons. And in a similar way, this passage of today is also dealing with relationships. And the example that Jesus used to explain this to us is to say that we need to invest in the right relationships, and we need to maintain those relationships. Now, with whom do we have relationships? It is with people that we are having a man-to-man or person-to-person relationship. So what the manager did, although it was wrong, that the intent or the method that he used rather was wrong, but the intention was to gain the favor of other people, to invest in, by using the wealth of his master. So although the motive of the manager was to gain from it, the master equally benefited by the goodwill of the people. What most likely happened here is because of the fact that the manager commended the master, commended the manager, tells us that, yes, they were rich because they were doing wrong business. So both the master and the manager was actually at fault. And you see, that's the problem, that following a bad example. In all likelihood, the manager have seen how the master are doing business, actually robbing people of their money, and he said, well, then I will do more of it, and then I can also gain from it. So why the master commended the manager was actually the manager did something that benefited both the manager and the master, because now both of them are looking good in the eyes of the people. So the relationship between the master and the manager and society is restored. Now we need to turn this around into kingdom principles. What Jesus is telling us here is that we need to use God's resources responsibly. We need to use it in the right way, so that the relationship of mankind with God can be restored. I want to tell you three stories. The first one is that of a school principal. It was his last week before retirement. Only 5 working days left, and then he can retire. But still, during that last week or last 5 days, he was still assisting children with extra help, connecting them with families for support, and helping them with their bursary applications. He was using the last few days to open doors for others, using what? His time and his skills to do so. As Jesus said, we must use kingdom resources to help others with things which will remain. If we carefully look back to our passage, then that is exactly what happened there. This manager, although he was not a believer, and this is the sort of challenge to me and you today, that Jesus said, look at the non-believers. They are actually performing better than you as believers. And that is what we need to hear in this passage this morning. And why he was commended, because although he was not a believer, what he did was right. He helped others. He set right the wrong business that was doing in the past, building relationships with those people. Story number two is the leasing of a piece of land. A family leased a piece of land for a year, and they planted vegetables on it. But when they heard that the lease will not be renewed, they harvested all they can and they donate it to their neighbors. The land was never theirs, but their kingdom mind and choice determined how many people will benefit from that piece of land. The third story I want to share with you is that of a teacher and his disciple. The disciple was busy doing discipling. He was working in the community, serving God. And he lived in a very, very simple mud hut with only a lion cloth as clothes. But unfortunately, the lion cloth was eaten by a rat. So he was now begging around for a new lion cloth. And the people helped him with a new lion cloth. But then unfortunately, the lion cloth was eaten by the rat again. So he had to go back again. And then he said, but I need to make a plan. So he said, wait. Cats take care of rats. So let me get a cat. So he got a cat. But then he realized, but now the cat needs milk. So now he not only needs to beg for his own food from society, he now needs to beg for milk as well for the cat. And then he realized, but this begging is also not working, so let me get a cow, and then I can get the milk from the cow for the cat. But then he realized, but the cow needs hay. So now he said, okay, let me plant lucerne, and then from that I can feed the cow. But then he realized, but shoot, this is now getting a lot of work to do. So he said, no, I need a few workers that can help me with the fields and feeding the cow, milking the cow, and getting the milk for the cow, for the cat, so that I can have my lion cloth. And it was not long after that where he realized, but shoo, yes, a lot of activities going on here now around, so maybe I need a wife to help me. So he got married. And it was not long after that that the wife said, but listen, we can't continue to living in this mud hut. We need a proper home and a house for our children to come and. And then he realized, but I will have to now extend my farming activity so that I can make more money so that we can build this house for my wife. And it was not long, and he had a very wealthy estate going on, a farming business and a big, big house to stay in. A few years later, the teacher happens to pass by that little village, and he saw, and he thought he will now see the small little mud hut of his disciple. But then he saw this big estate, and he asked him, so please explain. So the disciple said, yeah, you see, that's the only things I could do to keep and save my lion. So, my dear friends, it is easy to be caught up in a materialistic lifestyle of collection. And the worst thing is that we are making it the center of our life. That is like cancer to the soul. Jesus said in the passage, you cannot serve God and money. I brought a little video for us, and I would like us to listen to that. It is really a very simple explanation of the stewardship principle, and I hope that you will learn and you will remember from this video. Number 12 and 13. 12 and 13. Is it on? Okay.
Stewardship. A steward is defined as a manager, a treasurer, or one who takes care of the master's business until he returns. When we make the commitment to follow Christ, we become stewards in his kingdom, managers of the resources that God grants to us. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the faithfulness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." When we understand that everything belongs to God, and that we are appointed to manage his resources, ownership ends and stewardship begins. So what are we actually stewards of? God grants everyone different amounts of resources to use, but we all have the ability to use what we have to enhance the kingdom. There are things like our time, talents, our bodies, the gospel, opportunities, our finances, and much more. Imagine that you store your resources in a bucket. At any time, you can add to and take away for various things. When you get paid or have a day off, you put those resources in your bucket. Perhaps you have to pay some bills or you want to buy someone lunch. Some will have to be taken out. Either way, there is a supply and demand. When we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, though, a new source comes into play. We no longer own the bucket. We no longer own the resources. We do, however, have access to them and decide how to use them. We are now stewards. Imagine all the amazing things we can do now. Think of all the people we could bless and all the ministries that could flourish. God's love can infiltrate every facet of our lives. Unfortunately, things don't always play out that way. We have a natural tendency to revert back to an ownership viewpoint over these resources that we're blessed with. The common misconception is, I earn this. I deserve this. This is mine. This mindset puts a lid on our bucket. We shut God out. This is the basis of poor stewardship. Now, that's not to say that you can't still do great things with what you have, but you have removed God from the system and now have some resources being wasted. We aren't able to fully utilize all of God's blessings. We cannot serve two masters. On the contrary, however, when we remove the lid and submit fully to serving the Lord in every aspect of our lives, the dynamic of stewardship changes drastically. Our God is not a thief. These offerings, tithes, and sacrifices that we give to Him are going to be blessed and used in amazing ways to transform lives for the kingdom. He uses ordinary people to become extraordinary in a broken world that needs a foundation of love. By offering ourselves completely to His will, we allow the Holy Spirit to work transparently through us in a powerful way. Lives will be changed, miracles will happen, and ultimately broken people can learn that they are sons and daughters of a loving God. We will become great stewards. Our buckets will always be changing. In some cases, they will be empty. In others, they will overflow. In all cases, God will use us to do incredible things. Stewardship is a choice. Let's choose God.
Right. I think you've heard it from the passage. You heard it now from the video. I trust that God has spoken into your heart this morning about maybe one or two things that you need to change or you didn't know, but you know now. But let me help you just with highlighting again the three kingdom principles that Jesus is giving us in this parable is, number one, the importance of relationships and the investment in souls. Only that has eternal value. Number two, let us be faithful over the little. You know, it's easy to say, yeah, this parable is not applying to me. I don't have anything to give away in any case. That's not true. Whatever little you have, there is always room to give a part of that little and help others. Because Jesus is saying that if you are not faithful over the little, then you will also not be faithful in the much. So how can I bless you with more, knowing that you are not a good steward over the little that you already have? The third principle is that we cannot serve two masters. Let us not allow money and riches and wealth to make us self-centered and starting to become a slave of those wealth, of that wealth. But let us serve God with that wealth that He blessed us with. Now you will say, yeah, money, 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 money. No, it is not only money. You have heard in the video, they've cited you there more than 10 examples of what is resources, but I would just like to leave three with you. It is also about time. Time is a valuable resource. Are you willing to offer or sacrifice some of your time to help others? That is probably the more difficult one to share. It's very easier for me to just give money to a person and say, man, there's money, just get on and you know, move away. But to sit with that person and to listen to his life story and let him allow to share it with you and you listen so that you can know and better pray for him, it's even more difficult to share time. So it's not only money, but it's also time. Secondly, it's also about your talents, your experience, your wisdom, your skills that God has blessed you with. When you went to university or college to get that degree or that diploma or certificate, you sit with a qualification that you can help other people with. If I look at our congregation, there's a golden opportunity for that because we've got many, many senior citizens in the congregation. Yes, you have saved up and now you need to make sure that that savings will help you till the end. But you sit with experience, with wisdom, with talents. You sit with time at hand. I would encourage you this morning to use that time more and more and better for the kingdom of God. And your talents and your experience. Right here on our own premises is the shelter. I've said it over and over again. It's a golden opportunity for you to get involved. That those people must be fed every evening of the month. They need food. If you can just take one evening of the month or of a quarter to serve a meal at the shelter, you are helping 15 to 25 people every day to at least satisfy their physical needs. But there's a more golden opportunity there that you can have Bible study with them. Maybe you can sit with one or two of them and listen to their life story and pray for them. To disciple them, to evangelize them. There's golden opportunity. Earlier in this week on Monday, we were visiting Hope for Life in Pioneers Park. Very, very close to the AFM church. They are taking in throwaway babies. They've got 22 babies currently. When we were there on Monday morning, there were 22 of them. There's a social worker, there's a manager that needs to look at the finances. Many people are donating stuff to them. They need to put that on the computer and, you know, count the stock that they do have. It's nappies, it's milk, it's bottles, it's medicine, it's Vaseline, it's baby lotion, you name it, you know. Clothes, socks, and so on. Trays, socks by size, tray by size, and in it. So we were helping them on Monday morning just to count, go into their store and help them to count their stock for them so that they can enter it into the computer. Maybe you are an IT specialist working from Monday to Friday, but what about Saturday? To give 2 or 3 hours of your time to go help them maybe with their software and help them with entering and capturing the stock into the system. There are many, many, many opportunities, my dear friends, in this country, which is in big need of help. And you and I sit with time, with talents, with skills, and perhaps with a little bit of money as well. that we can share. So what is the application for us? What do we take away today then out of here? Number one, do not worship money or wealth, but use it as an instrument to advance the kingdom of God. Let us get familiar with God's kingdom principles and the kingdom agenda that we need to drive every day of our lives. Secondly, relationship and a good reputation is more valuable than money. In other words, I'm inviting you today to invest in people. And the start is to just sit and listen to their life story, that you can know the struggles that they are going through. It will in any case help you to perhaps pray for them and make help you to have a healthy prayer life. And thirdly, thank God that He looks differently at us and treating us differently with grace. Let us also treat others like that. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that we could share Your word this morning. It is my prayer, O Lord, that what we have shared with one another, that it will be food for our soul and our spirit this morning. And that it will help us, O Lord, to grow closer to You. To be at Your feet, O Lord, to discover Your Father's heart for this world. Because, O Lord, if we are in You and nearer to You, our love to the rest of the world will be genuine. It will be real, and it will be powerful, because You are the source of that love. Help us, O Lord, that we will transform by Your word, and that we will grow and to maturity, to become mature spiritually, so that we can serve in Your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us serve the Lord with our offering.
Once was lost, but now.